something we always take for granted is the fact that we have musicians to help us sing. So let's not forget that. And let's not forget the amount of work they put into practicing every week. With the new year, we're going to begin a new series looking at the songs of ascent. It's called Songs for the Road. And I'll explain my reasoning behind that title a bit later on. But we're going to do something a bit different this morning. I'm going to begin by praying. Then I'll give a bit of an introduction to the series. And then we will read the text for today, which is Psalm 120. So join me as I pray. O Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, please give us. And what we are not, make us. As you work in us now, by your Holy Spirit, through your word. Amen. Well, with summer holidays now in full swing, many of us will be embarking on the traditional summer road trip. Whether you're planning on driving to see family or just heading to the beach for a quiet getaway, it's common to spend a lot of our summer days driving somewhere with other people. Speaking personally, I reckon one of my most vivid childhood memories revolves this great Australian tradition. I can still picture my siblings and I all crammed together in the Kia Carnival, towels in the windows to keep the sun off, sticky fingers from icy poles, my older sister evenly distributing the cheesels, did I mention the heated arguments? And of course, there was also music. See, music was always a central part of these road trips for my family. Now, according to our household rules, the driver always got to pick the music for the road trip, which in hindsight is a little unfair. This meant that we often spent the hour-long journey from our place in Brisbane to Bullcock Beach, Caloundra, listening to Dad's favourite music, Jimmy Buffett, Alan Jackson, and James Taylor. For good or for ill, these particular artists became the soundtrack of my childhood summers. Now, do you have a summer road trip playlist? What do you like to listen to when you set out for a long journey? Please tell me it's not Jimmy Buffett. I'd rather donate my eardrums to medical research than have to listen to his song Margaritaville again. It may surprise you to learn that there is actually a road trip playlist in the Book of Psalms, a playlist for pilgrims known as the Songs of Ascent. The reason why this group of 15 psalms, beginning in Psalm 120 and ending in Psalm 134, are called the Songs of Ascent, has to do with how they were used by the people of Israel. See, the Torah required faithful Jews to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem three times a year for the triannual feasts of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Well, the journey up to Jerusalem was a literal ascent for these pilgrims. The city of Jerusalem is about 2,500 feet above sea level. The journey was also considered to be spiritual, too. Jerusalem, after all, was where the temple was. That's the place where God's presence dwelt on earth. The Psalms of Ascent functioned as the soundtrack for these pilgrims as they made their way up to the city of David three times a year. with the people often reciting and singing these psalms to one another to encourage each other on the journey. Now, some of you may be wondering what relevance these psalms have for us today. After all, the ongoing war between Israel and Palestine means that none of us will be journeying to Jerusalem anytime soon. And besides, we're not practicing Jews, we're Christians. So why bother looking at these psalms? Well, here's the rationale. If you're a believer, you are, whether you realize it or not, on a pilgrimage. Like the pilgrims of Israel, you are headed somewhere too. In fact, the entire Christian life is a road trip of sorts, a pilgrimage to the New Jerusalem, to the new heavens and to the new earth. These Psalms of Ascent, which have been on the lips of pilgrims for some 3,000 years, can therefore serve to comfort and encourage us today as we continue our pilgrimage. And as we'll see over the next few weeks, each of these songs of ascent have something to say about the nature of this spiritual journey, which every believer is on. My hope is that this series might help you get your spiritual bearings, not only as we begin this new year, but as we continue to make our journey together to the New Jerusalem. And so with all this in mind, let's begin the pilgrimage by looking at Psalm 120, the first of the Psalms of Ascent. And I'm going to read Psalm 120 to us now. Psalm 120, a song of ascents. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me, that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. About 4 years ago, I remember sitting by myself on the sofa in the church unit down there, watching TV. I'd only just arrived down in Somerset a few days prior, and I was waiting for our shipping container to be delivered to the manse so I could start unpacking it. At the time, Sharmini and Margot were still up in Brisbane, so I was looking for a way to distract myself that night. Now, being a music fan, I decided to watch the Rage music program on the ABC. Now, you wouldn't believe it, but that particular night, Rage was actually doing a special profile on Brisbane bands. Now, perhaps it was the nostalgia, or maybe it was the loneliness. But I remember that night feeling something I had never experienced before in my life. Homesickness. I want to go back to Brisbane, I remember thinking to myself. I want to be with my friends and family. I want to be somewhere familiar. Now, 4 years later, I've begun to feel a little bit more at home here in Somerset. But there are times when I still feel homesick for Brisbane. Have you ever felt homesick before? It's a powerful feeling when it comes upon you. Well, if you have, you'll be able to relate to the believer in Psalm 120. See, the believer in Psalm 120 is feeling distressed because he is far from where he wants to be. He's a long way from home. And notice what he says there in verse 5. He says, "Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar." Now, scholars aren't 100% sure on the exact location of Meshech and Kedar. Some suggest Meshech could be located in modern-day Turkey, while Kedar, somewhere on the Arabian Peninsula. While we may not be certain about the exact geography, it's clear why this believer is distressed. He's in Timbuktu, far from where he wants to be. He's a Jew living away from his spiritual home, the city of Zion. He's surrounded by people who are clearly hostile to the beliefs and the values which he holds. Judging by his prayer, this believer appears tired and at his wit's end. He says, "Too long have I made my dwelling among those who hate peace." He longs to be home. Now, what makes his circumstances even more distressing is the fact that he's surrounded by people who seemingly hate his guts. Look at verse 2. He's under the assault of lying lips and deceitful tongues. He has become the victim of defamation, with his opponents utilizing lies and slander to do violence to his reputation. This is particularly troubling for this believer, because according to verse 7, he's all about peace. In fact, he says, "I am for peace." The last thing he wants is to cause trouble. He's happy to carve out a peaceful existence with these folks. The problem for him, though, is that these folks don't want to exist peacefully with him. In fact, they're clearly opposed to him, aren't they? This is because, verse 6, the inhabitants of this land hate peace. Given his experience, it's no surprise this believer finds himself feeling homesick. Now, I think it's remarkable how the experience of a believer living some 3,000 years ago on the other side of the world feels so relatable to believers like us today. So, like this ancient believer, contemporary believers also find ourselves far away from our heavenly homeland, surrounded by people who not only hate us at times, but also go out of their way to cause us grief. For a number of years, Jason Trey was an internationally recognized wedding photographer. The Western Australian was so good at his craft that Jason had even been ranked the number one wedding photographer in Australia online for 2 years running. Now, out of respect for his clients, Jason, who is a practicing Christian, had a policy of telling same-sex couples that he had a conflict of belief with same-sex marriage. While he never refused service to anyone, Jason did believe that sharing his beliefs about marriage was important if the prospective customer was to make a fully informed decision. See, like the believer in Psalm 120, Jason, he was for peace. It turned out, however, that when Jason spoke, others were for war. See, in 2018, Jason was approached by a same-sex couple who asked him to photograph their family. Jason responded by doing what he had always done. He told the couple about his beliefs about marriage, suggesting a list of alternative photographers who did not have a conflict of belief like he did. Nevertheless, Jason went on to assure the couple that he'd be happy to take the photos, with no difference in level of skill or professionalism, if they still wanted to hire his services. A month after having this conversation, Jason received an email from the Western Australian Equal Opportunity Commission, informing him that the offended couple had made a formal complaint against his business for discrimination. This was the beginning of 7 months of anxiety and stress for Jason and his family as they faced the uncertainty of court action and its potential consequences. The offended couple demanded that Jason admit that he had discriminated against them and that he publish an apology on his website and social media pages for 2 months. Jason could not, in good conscience, do this. And so the case was escalated to the State Administrative Tribunal. In February 2019, just before the tribunal hearing was to be held, the complaint was withdrawn. Nevertheless, the 7 months between the lodging of the complaint and its withdrawal was a stressful time for the TAS, not to mention the legal fees. While believers may find Jason's case distressing, we shouldn't find it surprising. After all, Jason experienced what the believer in Psalm 120 experienced. This kind of treatment comes with the territory. Or to be more precise, it comes with living in foreign territory among those who neither respect nor share heaven's beliefs. I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Now notice how Peter doesn't say, if they speak against you, but when they speak against you. It's inevitable. But when you experience such opposition, when you're mocked, maligned, defamed, or abused because of your faith in Jesus, take heart. For you wouldn't be experiencing such opposition if you resembled the world. You wouldn't be the object of people's scorn if you fitted right in. The reason why this world gives believers grief is because it recognizes that we belong to another world. We're not from round here. And I guess this is why the homesickness which believers experience isn't actually a bad thing. See, spiritual homesickness, the longing you experience to be with God, is actually evidence that you belong to Him. Only those who have a home feel homesick. Only those whose home is with God feel a heavenly homesickness. But how can we be assured that our homesickness will come to an end? How can we know that we'll make it to our heavenly homeland? Well, the answer may surprise you. The reason we can be assured that we will make it to our heavenly homeland is because God chose to experience homesickness Himself. It may sound strange, but God knows what it's like to be a pilgrim. In fact, God Himself can relate to the experience of the believer in Psalm 120 personally. After all, the gospel message is all about the eternal Son of God choosing to leave His heavenly homeland to become a sojourner here on earth for 3 decades. He lived as an exile in this world. often having no pillow upon which to lay his head at night. Though he arrived bringing a gospel of peace, though he was for peace, he was quickly met with opposition. In fact, whenever Jesus spoke, his opponents demonstrated how much they hated this Prince of Peace. Like the believer in Psalm 120, Jesus himself became the victim of lying lips and deceitful tongues. Indeed, the lying lips and deceitful tongues of his opponents led to his violent execution based on trumped-up charges of blasphemy and rebellion. Now, why would God suffer in such a way? Why would God leave the comfort of his heavenly homeland and experience such hardship himself? Well, so that he might bring an end to your homesickness and bring you to where he is for eternity. When they hurled their insults at him, writes the Apostle Peter, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Here's the good news, my fellow exiles and sojourners. The present distance you feel from God will one day dissipate. You will not always feel homesick. One day you will arrive in the heavenly Zion to be where he is. I can say this with great assurance because Jesus, the author and pioneer of your faith, has made a way for you. He experienced homesickness so that you might experience his nearness for eternity. He became a pilgrim, a sojourner here on earth, so that you might become a citizen of heaven. He experienced distress so that you may experience everlasting bliss. This is good news for fellow travelers like us. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we must admit that sometimes we struggle living here on earth, for we feel like such strangers. Strangers amongst our friends, strangers amongst our own family, strangers amongst our own nation. And yet, Lord Jesus Christ, we take comfort in knowing that you have experienced this yourself. Indeed, you entered into this condition. You became a pilgrim and a sojourner so that you might make a way for us to be with you and your Father for eternity. O Lord, I pray that we might never lose sight of our heavenly homeland. Keep us, Lord, from becoming too comfortable where we are, and keep our eyes set on that final point of the pilgrimage. Amen.